Gopi jana valava girihara dhari Yasoda nandana vraja jana ranjana Yasoda nandana vraja jana ranjana Yamuna tiravanachari Yamuna tiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivakachari Sotarja Sishimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananikodi Vaishnava Vindi Ki Jai Namachar Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsa Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopi Nasha Makunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhani Ki Jai Vrindavan Dhami ki jai, Navadvip Dhami ki jai, Ganga Mayi ki jai, Yamuna Mayi ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gaura Prema Nandi, Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. So we're continuing from Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm going to be from the third canto, 12th chapter, and I'm just going to be reading the verses 8 through 10, and then we'll chant the Sanskrit for verse number 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. After his birth, he began to cry, O destiny maker, Teacher of the universe, kindly designate my name and place. Text number 9. The all-powerful Brahma, who was born from the lotus flower, pacified the boy with gentle words, accepting his request, and said, Do not cry. I shall certainly do as you desire. Next verse. Thereafter, Brahma said, O chief of the demigods, you shall be called by the name Rudra by all people because you have so anxiously cried. So now we're going to be chanting the verse to number 11. Rit Indriyan Yashur Vyoma Vayur Agnir Jalam Mahi Suryas Chandras Tapas Chaiva. Stanam Yagre Kritanite. Rid Indriyan Yasur Vyoma. Vayur Agnir Jalamahi. Suryas Chandras Tapas Chaiva. Snanam Yagre Kritanite. Rid Indriyan Yasur Vyoma. Vayur Agnir Jalamahi. Suryas Chandras Tapas Chaiva. Snanam Yagre Kritanite. Someone could chant. Machichis. Word for word. Rit, the heart. Indriyani, the senses. Asu'u, life here. Vyoma, the sky. Vayuhu, the air. Agnihi, fire. Jalam, water. Mahi, the earth. Suryaya, the sun. Chandraha, the moon. Tapaha, austerity. Cha, as well as. Eva, certainly. Stanani, all these places. Agre, here and before. Kritani, already made. Te, for you. Translation. My dear boy, I have already selected the following places for your residence. The heart, the senses, the air of life, the sky, the air, the fire, the water, the earth, the sun, the moon, and austerity. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The creation of Rudra from... The creation of Rudra from between the eyebrows of Brahma as a result of his anger generated from the mode of passion partly touched by ignorance is very significant. In Bhagavad Gita 337, the principle of Rudra is described. Krodha, anger, is a product of kama, lust, which is the result of the mode of passion. When lust and hankering are unsatisfied, the element of krodha appears, which is a formidable enemy of the conditioned soul. This most sinful and inimical passion is represented as ahankara, or the false egocentric attitude of thinking oneself to be all in all. Such an egocentric attitude on the part of a conditioned soul who is completely under the control of material nature is described in Bhagavad Gita as foolish. The egocentric attitude is a manifestation of the Rudra principle in the heart wherein krodha, anger, is generated. This anger develops in the heart and is further manifest through various senses like the eyes, hands, and legs. When a man is angry, he expresses such anger with red-hot eyes and sometimes makes a display of clenching his fists or kicking his legs. This exposition of the Rudra principle is a proof of Rudra's presence in such places. When a man is angry, he breathes very rapidly, and thus Rudra is represented in the air of life, or the activities of breathing. When the sky is overcast with dense clouds and roars in anger, and when the wind blows very fiercely, the Rudra principle is manifested. And so also, when the sea water is infiltrated by the wind and it appears in a gloomy feature of Rudra, which is very fearful to the common man. When fire is ablaze, we can also experience the presence of Rudra, and when there is an inundation over the earth, we can understand that this is also the representation of Rudra. There are many earthly creatures who constantly represent the Rudra principle. The snake, tiger, and lion are always representations of Rudra. Sometimes, because of extreme heat of the sun, there are cases of heat stroke, and due to the extreme coldness created by the moon, there are cases of collapse. There are many sages endowed with the influence of austerity, and many yogis, philosophers, and renouncers who sometimes exhibit their acquired power under the influence of the Rudra principle of anger and passion. The great yogi Dhirvasa, under the influence of this Rudra principle, picked a quarrel with Maharaj Ambarish, and a Brahmana boy exhibited the Rudra principle by cursing the great king Parikshit. When the Rudra principle is exhibited by persons who are not engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the angry person falls down from the peak of his improved position. This is confirmed as follows. Ye nye ravindaksha vimukta maninas tva yasta bhavat avisuda buddhaya arucha kritena paramparam tada prayant yado nadrito yasmad angraya. That's from Bhagavatam 10:2-32. The most lamentable fall down of the impersonalist is due to his false ego and unreasonable claim of being one with the Supreme. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Praschatya Deshatarane. So these various elements of lust, anger, and greed are described in the Bhagavad Gita. They are stated there that there are three gates of hell: lust, kama, anger, krodha, and greed, loba. Every intelligent man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. So this lust covers over the intelligence of the pure living entity. He says the pure living entity is covered over by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So no matter how much wood you put in the fire, it is never satisfied. Or if by putting ghee, sometimes example is given, by putting ghee into the fire, it is never satisfied. So this is a position of lust. No matter how much you get, you may get so much gold, so many animals, so many grains, so many women, but you'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied, because that's the nature of lust. It's never satisfied. And this lust is the symbol of ignorance, which keeps us here in this material world, suffering the threefold miseries of material existence. And although by engaging in sense gratification, there may be some feelings of happiness, but that so-called happiness is the ultimate enemy of the living entity. So, as it also stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born in contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is all-devouring sinful enemy of this world." So, our originally, we were Krishna conscious, but when we had love for Krishna, but when we came to that material world, that love, coming in contact with the material mode of passion, turns into lust, and this way, we come under the modes of material nature, and this love is. Original love, this is for a person. Prabhupada explains that love means love for an individual person. There's two people. That's love. Not that we have love for the air. No, love is between people. And so we're the living entities. They love Krishna, and Krishna's the object of that love. But when it comes in contact with the material world, it is transformed into lust. Just like Prabhupada gave the example of when milk comes in contact with sour tamarind, then it is changed into yogurt. And so this lust is never satisfied, and when this because it's never satisfied, because of dissatisfaction, it turns into anger, and anger turns into illusion. And then illusion keeps us bound up here in this material world. So from lust, anger and greed arise. And anger is a product
of the is of lust, and lust is a product of the mode of passion. And anger is a manifestation of the mode of ignorance. So we have to take this passion, the mode of passion, and not let it degrade us to the mode of ignorance. We have to take the mode of passion and bring it to elevate ourselves to the mode of goodness. And this way, one is able to follow the principles mentioned in the Vedic literatures and then come to Krishna consciousness. And this way, one's life is success in one's life is guaranteed. So Krishna, he expands himself for his ever-increasing bliss. So we are part of that ever-increasing bliss. But by misuse of our partial independence, by using our having our service attitude turned into lust for sense gratification, we become covered over in this material world. So this material world was created by the Supreme Lord to give us facility to enjoy our lustful propensities. But by prolonged lustful activities, we become frustrated, and then we begin to inquire about our actual position. So Krishna is the origin of everything. It says in this first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, that the absolute truth is the origin of everything. Therefore, he is the origin of lust. But if we use that lust or change that lust into love, then we become liberated. And just like Arjuna and Hanuman, they use those qualities in a transcendental way. Like Hanuman, he took his anger and he burnt the capital of Ravana. And Arjuna, he used his anger to fight his enemy, as Krishna told him. He told him to fight your enemies, and this is what I want you to do. So he used that. In this way, he set the example for us in how to use all activities in Krishna consciousness. So, in these lusty activities, people are, those who are lusty, they see everything for their sense enjoyment. They see, Prabhupada said, a lusty person, he sees everything conducive for sex life. And, but if we want to give that up, the way to give up lust is to have plans for determination. Probably the example of those in Brahmacharya life, they may see beautiful women, but they make plans to be determined in this way they could be successful in their life. And those who are angry, if you want to become angry, or if you want to become a conqueror over anger, then you have to give up envy. This is how to give up anger. And those who are greedy, greed means they see everything as a money-making opportunity. That's what greed is. And if you want to give up greed, you have to discuss the disadvantages of accumulating wealth. So you may accumulate so much wealth, but you're always in anxiety. Who will take this wealth? And, of course, to get the wealth, you have to go through so much austerity. So in this way, this is how it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is how you conquer over greed. So we have to become free from all these things. And by becoming free from all these things, then we become purified. The more we become free from lust, anger, and greed, the more we become purified from these things. And this way, we're able to become Krishna conscious. So this is all possible if we surrender to Krishna. There are three formidable forces, namely attachment, lust, and greed. And these are there, and if one has lust, anger, and greed, attachment, lust, and greed, one cannot concentrate on the lotus feet of the Lord. So Krishna has these things here because he doesn't want to be realized by the atheists and the non-devotees. But if one surrenders to Krishna, then he takes away this attachment, lust, and greed. In this way, one's able to concentrate on his lotus feet, and then Krishna will give him intelligence from within how to go back to home, back to Godhead. So Krishna says, Sarvadhamma Parikya Ja Mami Kam Sharnam Raja Aham Sam Sarva Tavapte Mo Moksha Misyam Masujaha. So abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender to me, I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction, do not fear. So this is what Krishna wants. Krishna wanted the battlefield, so Arjuna fight in the battlefield, and he wanted him to do this, and he said, I've given you this instruction, this is my instruction, this is the most confidential instruction, give up everything and surrender to me. I want you to do this, so you should do this. So this should be our position. I don't want to do it, but Krishna wants me to do it, therefore I'll do it. So this is the attitude of devotee. He'll do it because Krishna do it. Any old nonsense thing, if Krishna wants me to do it, I'll do it. That's the only concern of devotee. So Krishna says, give up all your crazy ideas, your manifestation of your various manifestations of your engagements, and simply surrender unto me. I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. And this surrendering process is completed by the influence of association. So this is a very important spiritual life. It's probably to quote that that saying, birds of a feather flock together. A man is known by his company. So in this way, if we actually want to surrender, which is the ultimate position or the ultimate platform of devotional service, then we have to get good association. This is part of the beginning of devotional service. Well, there's faith and then there's sadhu sangha association. So this is very important in our spiritual life. And this surrender, this is the only qualification that's necessary for devotional service. One may say, well, I'm a sudra, I'm a woman, I'm a bird, I'm a beast. One may think like that, but that's the only qualification that's necessary is that one surrender unto Krishna. And by doing that, one makes his life perfect. So this is surrender is such a nice thing. By the least qualification that one has, if one surrenders to Krishna, then one gets the highest benefit. This is the benefit of the greatness of surrendering to Krishna. So how do we surrender in Krishna? We surrender to Krishna by following his instructions. The instructions of Krishna, by the instructions of the spiritual master, to accept everything favorable for the discharge of devotional service and rejecting those things which are unfavorable. So Prabhupada mentions that in Krishna consciousness, there are high standards of purity which give us a spiritual strength, such as chanting 16 rounds, following the four regulator principles, rising early in the morning for attending Mangal Arati, and going to the evening and morning class. And thus, the leaders of the society, of our society, must show that they are following these things without deviation. Otherwise, it is responsibility of the senior disciples and the local GBC to rectify it immediately and do the needful. So this is very necessary in society because, as is stated by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever great men do, common men follow in their footsteps. So the leaders have to set a good example, and everyone has to follow these principles. In this way, one could become Krishna conscious. And these principles, they help us come to the mode of goodness and stay in the mode of goodness. Srila Prabhupada explains this in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the last chapter that he gave purports to. He mentions that attending Mangal Arati, establishment of Varnashrama, being neat and clean, and hearing and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam bring us to the mode of goodness and keep us there. And that in this way we won't be influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. So this is what it means to be alive. Prabhupada said, alive doesn't mean simply by having a temple, but alive means coming to the having the evening and morning classes. This is what it is to be alive. And this is a standard for initiated devotees, standard practices for initiated devotees. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned this, and he wrote a letter to for the devotees. Well, specifically he wrote to Rameshwar back in 1973 about the importance of the morning and evening class. During that time, a number of devotees weren't coming to the evening class. And Prabhupada told Rameshwar, he said, it has been brought to my attention that many of the students aren't studying. I don't know if this applies to you or the devotees under your care, but I must stress again that we must have morning and evening classes, 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour in the evening time. So in this way, by following these practices of Krishna consciousness, then we could become free from this material world and go back to home, back to Godhead. So presently we are suffering from the sevenfold miseries, namely the four problems, the four great problems, namely birth, death, old age, and disease, and the threefold miseries. So these threefold miseries are always mixed with the four problems of life. So the only way to get out of these sevenfold miseries is to surrender to Krishna by taking up this process, by hearing from the spiritual master, by hearing from the Vedic scriptures. In this way, our success is guaranteed. So I'll stop there. Are there any questions on any of these points? Yes, Brigapati Prabhu?
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice class, very informative, bona fide, etc. Two questions, short ones. You mentioned at one point in your lecture that I think it was attachment, lust, and greed, or attachment, anger, and greed. I can't remember the combination.
Attachment, lust, and greed.
Yeah, they're there because Krishna doesn't like to be realized by the non-devotees. And I was just wondering if there was some specific place where that was stated.
I got the quotes. At all my points that I bring up in class, I make reference to them. I could show you later, but I believe it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Okay.
And it's right. I have it right here, right up to class. I could show the exact
now,
reference.
As far as the morning and evening class goes, Prabhupada made the point that everybody should go to the morning and evening class, should be studying an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So is studying on your own an hour in the evening acceptable, or do you have to actually physically come and attend the class?
No, I should do... You should be with the devotees and study, in other words. And well, I know sometimes... Well, for example... like Srila Prabhupada wanted us to read all his books. He said we must read all the books that have been translated. And otherwise, if you don't, after some time, you simply eat, sleep, and fall down. So the nine books that probably translated was this Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna book, the Light of the Bhagavat, The Nectar Devotion, Nectar Destruction, Shish Upanishad. So we have to read all those besides the classes. And if you go to the classes, we may not have a class in the Shish Upanishad or on the Chaitanya Charitamrita like that. So you have to do that also. But also, since Prabhupada mentioned a class in an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening, you may find that sometimes the classes in the morning or the evening don't last an hour. So you should take that extra time. Let's say the class lasts in the morning for 45 minutes, so you should at least, let's say, read an extra 15 minutes on your own, for example. So, but Prabhupada wanted devotees to come together and have classes like that. He said, he told Gopi Janavalabha, he said, I am also coming to the classes in the evening time to hear my disciples speak. He said, so don't become a better Paramahamsa than your Guru Maharaj. So he explained like that. Okay? Any other questions on these points?
So anger is generated by... Well, first of all, lust is not just sex desire, but it is not a comment, but it's a question. But desire to please our own senses versus pleasing Krishna's senses. Correct? Would that be lust?
What lust means... Say again?
Desire to please our own senses.
Yeah, that's lust, yeah. But but basically, that's like example of giving of sex life is as an example given for lust. That's like the main example
but
that's given.
But it's not just limited to sex.
It's everything. Lust versus... For, you know,
eating,
everything, all the senses, you know, lusty eyes, lusty tongue, you know, so many things like that.
Okay, like even karmi music would be lust, basically.
It's based on lust. But the main principle, attraction, binding force in the material world is sex life. So that's given, that's an example given for lust like that. But lust means for everything, you know. Everything.
So the three things, anger, lust, and greed.
Greed.
So the anger is generated by lust?
Yeah, lust from anger comes from a lust.
Okay, so it's really lust and greed then.
Yeah, well, it's a manifest. Well, it's mentioned that from lust comes greed and anger. Exactly how that works out, combination, I'm not sure. But that's greed and anger come from lust. And of course, greed is such that it's no matter how much you get, you may be so-called satisfied sometimes by engaging in lustful activities temporarily. But greed, no matter how much you get, you're always dissatisfied. You always want more and more and more and more like that. Okay. Yes, Archita.
Lust and love are defined by Krishnadas Kaviraj Maharaj in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada would quote this verse quite often. It says, Atmanya Priti Icha Tari Bali Kam Krishnendra Priti Bhajat Dari Tarinam. So that the desire to please your own senses in any way, because sometimes it doesn't seem like something very, very, you know, serious. Like you said, karmi music. I just like a particular genre of music and I want to hear it. But is that pleasing to Krishna? That's the distinction. So the desire to please your own senses in any way, that's called lust. And the desire to please Krishna's senses, that's called love. For instance, Arjuna, somebody would say, to go out and kill even your grandfather, that's considered love? Yes, because you're doing it to please Krishna. So it's not always so clear, you know, we think in terms of some gross sense gratification, but any kind of sense gratification that's based on your own desire, that's lust. And if you desire to please Krishna, that's love. Kama.
Yes, explain also that lust is like iron and love is like gold, like that. Okay, yes?
Thank you, Prabhu, for this great class. At the beginning of the class, I believe you mentioned that at once we were Krishna-conscious entities and we came to the material world because of our minute independence. And so what I've been wondering is, if we were Krishna-conscious and completely pure, and I thought that also meant in full knowledge, spiritual knowledge, how could we be making what seems like such an ignorant decision to turn away from Krishna if we're in that completely Krishna-conscious state?
Well, it's our nature. Our nature is we're marginal, and marginal means we could go either way. And so that's our nature. We could desire to go against Krishna or stay with Krishna. It's just our nature. And if we don't have that, you know, then we're not living entities. In other words, you can't. It's something that can't be forced. Krishna forces us to do something, you know, then we're not living entities. So it happens. Exactly how it happens, I can't say, but it happens. And by misusing our independence, then we fall down in the material world. As stated often, it sometimes explains that, I think it's in the Bhagavad Gita, that because of the minuteness of our self, we could become influenced by the material nature because we're so minute, it's possible to become covered over. Yes, Archita?
Thank you, Bhakta Dani, for bringing up this point. There is no influence of the material nature in the spiritual world. It's not like here. In the material world, you're trying to become Krishna conscious, and Maya is going, psst, psst, psst. Hey, check this out. It's not like that. But because we are part and parcel of Krishna, we have the same qualities in minute quantity. So one of Krishna's qualities is that he's a supreme controller. So we have minute desire to be controllers also. He's a supreme enjoyer, so we also have desire to enjoy. Those who don't exercise those desires independently, they remain in the spiritual world. But because, as he said, we're living beings, we can misuse those desires. We can misuse those tendencies. We're not automatons. We're not robots. I love you, I love you, I love you. No, it's voluntary. So at some point in that voluntary loving of Krishna, we can voluntarily decide what it would be like to become Krishna, instead of just loving Krishna. And you can't be Krishna in the spiritual world, so he creates a material world. It's like an amusement park, where you can go and pretend that you're in charge, you can pretend that you're the greatest, you know, like that. So Krishna, it's actually a wonderful creation. He's giving us a chance to exercise those tendencies, because you can't exercise them in the spiritual world. But the mistake that many people think is that, yeah, but you can't fall down from perfection. No, you can't. You absolutely can't. Because there's no influence there to drag you down except for your own desire to experience what it would be like to be Krishna, which you can't experience in the spiritual world. So you have to come to the material world to exercise that tendency. It's just like every free citizen who's not in jail in America right now, it's because they haven't misused the tendency to take what doesn't belong to them or do something that goes against the criminal code. They could, and they sometimes do. They're not being forced to be good. It's by your own desire, your own agreement to follow the laws of the land. So those who agree to remain as Krishna's servant, they don't fall down. But if you exercise or have that desire to be Krishna, or what it would be like to be Krishna, then you have to come here because you can't exercise that in the spiritual world. But it's perfect. Yeah, that tendency is there. Like Prabhupada was asked directly, when we go back to Godhead, can we come back? As Krishna says, those who return to the spiritual will never come back. Prabhupada said, you can, but it's like once bitten, twice shy. You've already experienced the miseries of this place. Why would you want to come back? You see? But it's not that you can't, but you don't want to. You've already gone through that horror, and you survive because we're eternal. We can't be killed. We can't be burned. So even though we've experienced all that, we've survived, and we go back to our original situation. We don't want to come back again. But if you could never leave, if you could never exercise that independent, then you're not independent, then you're a robot, and we're not robots. And that's why Prabhupada says, Krishna does not interfere with your minute independence. You have to voluntarily decide, now I want to go back to you, Krishna, I want to serve you again.
Yeah, another thing is, we may think that how could we in the spiritual world, and now we're here suffering like anything, but it is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that when we first came to the material world, we first became Lord Brahma. So, you know, that's, so being from Lord Brahma, from what we are now, is a big difference. So one may think, well, how could I, you know, fall from the spiritual world to where I am now? Yeah, but that's, it's not all of a sudden. Gradually, we become more and more and more degraded, and it's such a horrible position. So it's 8:30 now. We better stop. Thank you very much. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga.
Save the Maha for the devotees who come from Mumbai. What to do?
Oh, it's all right.
It's all right.
So the three things we actually do,
yeah, lust is, you know, instead of wanting to serve Krishna, you want to serve your own senses. It's like if a senses want, like a hand wants, if you give me a rascal.